Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a teaching on financial stewardship, and we're now coming to the close. I still have some things to say that's going to take me into next week on this teaching, but we are at the very end. I've been teaching on this, I think, for 6 weeks. And I encourage you to please get the materials that I'm offering, because this has become a real revelation to me. It has transformed my life. It has helped me tremendously. I've seen a lot of other people set free through this teaching. And what I'm sharing about financial stewardship is not just the same old thing that you've heard. For one thing, what I'm teaching right now is about how that if you really want to prosper in God's system, you've got to learn to give. Normally, that's taught first. But I'm teaching it last, because your heart's got to be right. If you give with the wrong motivation, it cancels out your giving. And so the approach that I've taken towards financial stewardship is totally different than most of the way I've heard it presented. And I believe that it has a potential of really impacting you to a greater degree, going to the heart level instead of just getting you to do something in the natural. And also, there are people that have been offended and turned off by ministers talking about prosperity and giving that I think would receive the things the way that I present it from the Word of God, because it is definitely not being presented for manipulation, control, from a selfish standpoint. The number one criticism that I hear against prosperity is people think that you're preaching on it just so you can have a bigger house, bigger car, bigger all of this stuff. And they take the scriptures, like over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, about the love of money is the root of all evil. And while some covet it after, they pierce themselves through with many sorrows and hurtful lust, which drown men in perdition. And they know that greed is not a right motivation. And the way that prosperity is often presented, it is greedy. And so people just reject it. They throw the baby out with the bathwater. There is a truth about prosperity, and that when you give, it's given back unto you. But sometimes, because of the self-serving way that it's presented, people reject it. And I've gone out of my way to try and counter that. I'm not saying I've done it perfectly. You know, none of us do anything perfectly. But that's been my motive, is to try and present this in a balanced way that eliminates this confusion and this manipulation stuff. And so I think that this has a potential of really helping a lot of people. Like I said, this week I've been talking about giving, and that when you give, it does come back. There is a supernatural return. You know, my mother used to give to us, and every time she would give to us when we were first getting started, I would say, I believe God is blessing this back to you 100-fold, based on Mark chapter 10, verse 30. And she'd always say, oh, God's already blessed me. I don't want anything back. I didn't give in order to get. Well, to a degree, that's a good attitude, that you aren't giving with a selfish motivation, which 1 Corinthians 13:3 says just void your gift. So she definitely didn't void her gift by having the wrong motivation. But at the same time, you're supposed to believe for return, not just so that you could get more and be selfish with it, but so that you could have more to give. A farmer, when he plants a seed, what would happen if somebody came along and said, boy, look at all the seeds you've got in the ground. You're going to have a huge harvest. And he says, oh, I didn't plant my seeds for a harvest. Something would be wrong with you if you didn't expect a harvest. When you give, you should expect that to come back to you. There's nothing wrong with it, but you don't just need to stop there and say, I'm giving so that I can get. No, you give so that you can get, so that in return you can give even more. You need to believe in this principle that when you sow, you shall reap 100-fold, but then you don't just become selfish with it and use all of this increase just for yourself, but you turn around and start sowing even more and bless people. That's the proper attitude. Here in Galatians chapter 6, it says in verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. You know, this is a really simple principle, and I mentioned this in our last teaching when I was talking about the tithe, and specifically we offered a special CD that I made during one of our chapels at Caris Bible College on why, when, and where to give. And so I've already made this point, but let me just point this out, that this is saying the same thing, that you are supposed to give back. When it says communicate unto him, that's talking about give financially. Some of the translations will even use that terminology. So if you are taught in the Word, you are supposed to give financially back to the person who has taught you. That is just really simple. It's like if you eat at McDonald's, you don't go across the street to Wendy's and pay them for what you got at McDonald's. You give where you are fed. That is probably the most basic, the most universal motivation for your giving. That's not the only motivation. There is benevolence giving, where you give to a person that never feeds you. It's just the compassion of the Lord. You give to help the poor. There is giving towards missions types of things, where the people who are receiving the gospel may not have the resources to be able to pay for it, and so you give and help send someone to these places where people can't give. There are those types of giving. But primarily, the number one motivation is to give where you are fed. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. A storehouse is where you put your food and valuables, and you go there to get your food. You give where you are fed. If we would follow this, it would solve a lot of problems. It would get rid of the charlatans, the crooks, the people that are just fleecing you for your money, because I can guarantee you they are not truly being used of God. They aren't feeding you. They're fleecing you. And they would either have to quit because they would dry up. If people only give where they were fed, not where they were begged, not where they were manipulated, it would solve that problem. And then the people who are feeding the body of Christ would be super blessed. You know, I'm not saying these things trying to exalt myself. I'm just trying to get this point across. I don't believe I'm the only one ministering the Word of God. I don't believe I'm ministering the Word of God better than anybody else. But I know that what I am teaching is changing people's lives. Boy, we get testimonies all of the time. I have seen it by the thousands. We now have over 3 billion, with a B, people that can watch this program. Now, I admit that not all of those people, just because it's available, watch it. If you were, let's just be super conservative and say that only 1% of the potential listening audience watches this program, then that would be 1% of 3 billion would be 30 million people that watch this program, if only 1% of the potential. And then let's say that only 1% of the people who actually watch it get blessed. I personally believe it's much, much higher than that. But if only 1% of the people watching this program got blessed, then that would be 300,000 people who watch this program and get blessed by it on a daily basis. And let's say that if they truly get blessed by it, that certainly that's worth a dollar. You know, if people just followed this, and if you get blessed, just send in $1 every time that this program blesses you, then that would be $300,000 per day coming in. That has never happened. I don't know exactly what our income is, but we average somewhere around maybe $60,000 or $70,000 per day, and that's weekday. That's not over every single day. That's just 5 days a week. And you know what? That's great, and praise God for His provision. But I know that there's people that are watching, and they just aren't following the instructions of the Lord. If you have been taught in the Word, communicate back unto him that teacheth. And that's not just to me. That's to your pastor. That's to anybody. When I listen to a person on television or radio, if I get something from them, I'll send them something. I don't go get food at a place and not pay them. And I don't go out of there and pay the people across the street. I give where I'm fed. And if people would just follow that, the people who are truly feeding the body of Christ would be super, super blessed. Verse 7, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. One translation that I read of this says, for whatsoever a man sows, that and that only shall he also reap. That's true. Whatever you sow is what you reap. You don't reap something that you haven't sown. You don't sow carrots and reap potatoes. You reap what you sow. If you want finances, you are going to have to sow finances. If you want love, you're going to have to sow love. If you want acceptance, you're going to have to sow acceptance. But we're talking about finances, and if you want finances, you're going to have to sow finances. You only reap what you have sown. There are some of you that are trying to reap a harvest and you haven't planted a seed. It doesn't work that way. It says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Again, this is just another scripture. I've used scriptures every single day this week to show that if you are going to prosper financially in God's kingdom, part of that is you've got to start taking money and giving money. You got to look at money like a seed, and you got to plant it. And when you plant it, it grows and it multiplies. And this is what causes prosperity to come back to you. And it is just absolutely amazing to me how many people come to me and they are wanting prayer. And yet I've just started asking people when they are struggling financially, I say, "Are you a giver? Do you tithe systematically, or do you just give when it's convenient, when you have extra?" And I'm not sat down and, you know, just figured this out mathematically, but it seems like in my memory that it's about 90% or so of the people who come to me with financial needs, they are not consistent givers. They only give occasionally. They give if they have anything left over. They tip God here and there, and yet they're wanting God to come through on time and be abundant and all of this, and yet they aren't doing that. Again, let me go back to Luke chapter 6. I've used this verse just about every day, I think, as I've been teaching through this. But in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." The way you give is how you receive. Are you giving off the top? Are you giving the very first thing? Are you quick to give? If you're slow to give, then guess what? You're going to be slow to receive. There are some of you that wait until it's just, you know, "Well, I guess I've got to give." And you give grudgingly and of necessity. And then you wonder why your needs are supplied late. And it seems like that, man, God could have been quicker than this. But He set down a law here that you are going to reap the way that you sow. Not only what you sow, but the way that you sow. That's what it's saying right here. You've got to give cheerfully. You've got to give quickly. The same measure that you use is how it gets measured back to you. If you use a little eyedropper and just give a little tiny drop here and there, then that's the way that you're going to receive. If you wind up using a big old bucket or a shovel or a wheelbarrow and you start just giving lots, then it's going to come back to you in wheelbarrow loads. It's going to be proportional. In a sense, you could say it this way. You determine how finances come to you. The way that you give determines how you are going to receive. And there's lots of people watching this program that you want to receive big, but you want to give small. You're missing it. And I'm not saying this to hurt you or to criticize you. God loves you. You know, God's not the one who's hindering you. It's just that there are laws. It's, you know, in the natural realm, if you go out and plant one kernel of corn, then you are going to, at the very most, get one stalk that comes up with basically 3 ears on it and about 700 kernels of corn on each of those 3 ears. So, you know, that's pretty good. If you plant one kernel of corn and you get one stalk, and that's a total of about 2,100 kernels of corn back, that's good. But then, if you get jealous of the person who planted 1,000 kernels of corn, and because of that, he's got 1,000 stalks, and that means 3,000 ears of corn times 700. I can't even figure in my head how much that is, but probably over 1,000,000 worth of those kernels of corn on all of those ears. And you get envious and say, "Well, why didn't I receive the way that he did?" It's not God who is punishing that person and blessing this other person. There's just laws that govern. If you sow one kernel, the most you can get is one stalk and 3 ears of corn. And if you sow thousands of kernels, then you get thousands of stalk. It's just the law of God. It's the way it works. And it's not personal. It's not God who didn't bless this person. Boy, you are blessed. That one little kernel produced like 2,100 times itself. But there are just laws that govern it. It's not personal. If you are praying for financial prosperity and if you've been struggling and it seems like it never comes, it's not God who is punishing you and saying, no, you aren't sincere enough, you aren't enough, you didn't sow enough, I'm not going to bless you. God is, it's not personal that He's hindering His flow back towards you. God wants to bless you, but it takes some faith on your part. It takes some action on your part. You know, the person that sows these seeds and stuff, it took some effort. They had to plow the field. They had to make furrows. They had to plant the seed. Then you have to water it. You have to fertilize it. You have to get the weeds out of it. And then when the crop comes up, you have to go harvest it. There is work in order to get a harvest. There is work on our part. And the work is that we have to trust God and we have to sow some seed and believe God. I know in some ways people think, well, man, you've already made this point. But the reason I just keep hammering this from different scriptures is just hoping that the weight of all of these scriptures and all of this evidence will overwhelm you, and eventually somebody is going to get this point that if you want to prosper in God's system, this is part of the prosperity. You have to start giving. And you can't just give a little bit if you want a lot. You got to give a lot if you want a lot. You can't give grudgingly and necessity. You got to be cheerful about it. You got to be quick to do it. If you want to receive your needs on time, you got to give on time. When you first get it, give off the top. Give 10% off the top, the first fruits. And if you start doing these kind of things, and if you do it over a prolonged period of time, because there is a seed, time, and harvest, and if you do it over a prolonged period of time, you will just start seeing a crop coming in. You will have a harvest. All of your need will be met. But I'm trying to say this over in so many ways because I know that the majority of people watching this program do not tithe and give offerings. Now, I know that that's quite a statement, but this is based on me dealing with people. The majority of people who come to our meetings, they may be born again, they may love God, but giving is not a foundational truth in most people's lives. Most people excuse themselves for it because of whatever reason, and I'm trying to take these excuses away. I've seen statistics, and I've talked to a lot of pastors, and I've found this to be true, that it's around 20% of the people give 80 to 100% of all of the finances in a church. We just did a thing recently in our ministry, and the guy that handles all of our partnerships came back and showed me, and I forget the statistics now, but this will be close, that it's like there is 1.2% of our people that are on our mailing list that gave over 10% of all of the finances that we had. And if you go up, about 2 or 3% gave 15%. And anyway, it comes out pretty close that the top 80% of all of our income came from less than 20% of the people who have ever given to us. And so I'm saying that I've heard this statistics, I've talked to pastors, it's our personal experience right here, and this is the reason that I just keep emphasizing this over and over and over, is because this is an absolute cardinal law of God. You will not prosper from God through His system if you don't learn to give, and to give generously, liberally, quickly, off the top, not off the bottom. Not wait till the last minute, but the very first thing, according to how you give, is how you're going to receive. That is just so simple that you have to have somebody to help you to misunderstand it. But it's amazing to me that the vast majority of people don't understand this. The vast majority of the people watching this television program right now do not act on what I'm talking about. And I just can't for the life of me understand why you don't do that, other than fear and unbelief. And I'm trying to tell you that it's my personal experience, all of these promises from the Word of God, that when you start trusting God in this area, this is when it says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. That is the promise of God. I'm trying to counter this unbelief and this fear about it. And my personal testimony is that, man, I have trusted God now for, over 50 years. I have tithed on every penny, anything that comes my way, not only money, but material things. If somebody gives me something of value, I'll give off of that, even though there wasn't any finances involved. I give. I have given, 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 and God has blessed me. I'm trying to assure you that if you will start trusting God in this area, that God will make you prosper. This is critical. And I go back to the very beginning of this teaching. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, the very first thing I taught, Jesus said that if you aren't faithful in that which is least, you won't be faithful in that which is much. If you haven't ever been trusted in this least area, who's going to commit to your trust the true riches? And what that means is that if you can't trust God in this area of finances, which is the least area of your faith, it's the least. It's not the greatest. It's the least. This is baby stuff. If you can't trust God with your finances, then I believe that you're deceived or deceiving yourself. If you think that you can trust Him with your eternal destiny and trust Him with healing of cancer and the saving of your marriage and touching your children and other things. If you can't lift 5 pounds, you can't lift 100 pounds. Jesus said trusting Him in finances is least. Brothers and sisters, I'm begging you. That's the terminology that Paul used. It says, I beseech you, I beg you. I'm begging you that you need to trust God in this area. It's for your own benefit. You need to let God come into your finances. And this is why He told you to give. It's all about trust. And the person who says, well, I would give if I just had anything to give. You got money. It's just a matter of your priorities. There are many of you that don't trust what the Word of God says, and so you hoard and keep back more than you should. And that is the very reason that you're operating in poverty. I'm trying to help you. When Elijah came to that widow woman in 1 Kings chapter 17 and says, fix the food for me first. She had said that I'm down to my last little bit of food and I was going to fix it for me and my son that we could eat it and die. And he said, you fix me a cake first because you did this, your barrel of oil will not waste, your crews will not fail, and you will have food throughout the entire drought. She had to give. Elijah wasn't taking from her. He was giving to her. I'm not trying to take from you. I'm trying to give to you. I'm trying to let you understand that God wants to bless you, but you need to plant a seed. You need to take a step of faith. You need to take something that you could have used and sow it instead of eating it yourself. I'm going to continue this on our programs next week, so I encourage you to listen in. We'll be continuing to talk about financial stewardship. And listen to our announcer as he gives you information about how to receive these products, and then call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Financial Stewardship is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The sixth audio teaching in today's series is also available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this sixth teaching titled, Your Partnership in the Kingdom, Free of Charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled, sharper than a two-edged sword, for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website, where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
We'd like to give you the opportunity to invest yourself in building the lives of Charis Bible College world changers through the Foundation Builders Program. This special group of ministry partners is joining hands financially with Andrew and Jamie to make this vision a reality, providing a firm foundation for building the lives of Charis Bible College world changers and making disciples who will carry the almost too good to be true news of God's love and grace around the world. Discover how you can help change lives. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the UK this week for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 27th through the 30th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for a Better Way to Worship Conference, June 15th through the 17th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th, and in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 4th through the 6th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
That was easy.
Thought about taking your parents to Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado Springs? It's easier than you think. Log on to www.awmi.net for more details.
And there was this man on the phone saying, your husband's had a wreck.
I was in a head-on accident. I was told later it took him two jaws of life to get me free from my truck cab.
His ribs were busted, his sternum was busted. One hip was crushed and the femur was broken real close.
And the nurse had told my wife later, says people younger would die.
It was like Satan did his absolute best to kill my husband.
I chose to live.
Catch the complete story today. Log on to awmi.net. Click on Ministry News and take a healing journey today.